The intro was crazy.
We're trying to be silent because the movie doesn't have much music in it.
It's the best soundtrack ever.
But neither of these two can be silent for more than 4 seconds at a time.
It was your face.
Like a bunch of girls.
So, we're the Couch Critiques. I'm Riker. This is Chandler.
Hi.
This is Mason.
I'm late.
No, what's shit.
What's new?
Late again.
And you know what? We wouldn't take it any other way. We actually plan for you to be a half hour late every time.
Thank you.
But you're blowing our mind because you're like 45, 50 minutes late.
I'm sorry. I was watching the movie.
Which is weird because you messaged 2 days ago saying, hey guys, if we're going to film the podcast on Sunday, we need to do it after 6 o'clock because I work from 12 to 4 and then I'm going to lift afterward.
Well, I lifted before.
I thought you were going to lift while you were watching the movie. At this point. Get my pump on.
I'm sorry.
We got to watch Pain and Gain for you to do that.
I need to get a pump.
Listen, I got to think. I'm going to go put a pump on. We watched this week No Country for Old Men, which was a fan pick. I say fan loosely because it was my fiance that put the recommendation in. So
why'd she do that?
Because it's her favorite movie. Yeah. Well, I guess
I would say her favorite
tied probably. It was either this or you're going to end up watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I know you would have pooped your pants if you'd watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I might have got turned on.
Hey, man. I blanked on the lead actor of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, it's the dude from It. Fucking...
Tim Curry.
Yeah, Tim Curry.
I blanked on Tim Curry. Dude. I was going to say, Tim Curry turns you on.
Have you seen a recent picture of him?
Yeah, he's so sad. Yeah, he's old.
I know.
And, you know, wheelchair bound now,
he's
too.
Like the crypt keep old.
Yeah.
And poor guy.
Well, that's true. You either die young or you live old enough to
become the villain.
Feel good.
Oh.
Like, oops. I'm sure he's looking good, feeling good. We watched No Country for Old Men. It was a fan pick. It was picked by Kara, and I asked her why specifically, and I told her to text me, but she never texted me why. But I, you know, live with her and I talk to her regularly, so I got this feedback. She liked it because she really likes Javier Bardem, who plays the antagonist, and she really loves the antagonist in most movies. She was fascinated by the movie because it really didn't put the characters together ever. Like, the main characters were never filmed together. She thought that was great. And she thought that the way that... I'm not going to spoil stuff right now, but she thought that the way that the... I guess the ending between the bad guy and our, like, good guy... she liked that a lot, because it was something that, like, she's never seen done before and thought it was an interesting way to handle things. So she liked the way that the movie didn't really hold your hand a lot. There were elements to it that, you know, like, you just kind of had to understand. So she liked that too. So that's why she liked it. I asked her why. That's what I got. Do we want to go into the, like, the cast and crew?
Sure. I'll butcher the names.
I know that you heard them, and I want you to be the one to read them, because I know that you're gonna butcher them.
Well,
have fun, pal.
All right, here we go.
I think Chandler could, we could probably bounce back and forth. I don't think Chandler could pronounce them too either.
That's not my job.
Not my daddy.
All right. So for No Country for Old Men, we have Tommy Lee Jones as Ed Tom Bell.
The goat.
Javier Bardem as Anton Chigurh.
Literally just said his name.
Isn't that how you said it? Did I fuck it up?
Javier Bardem.
Oh, whatever.
Bardem.
There was no Enyo over the E.
I don't think we need that for that to be the way it's pronounced.
The tilde. Is that what it's called?
I like his Enyo, whatever the heck. That's the thing that I don't know.
Josh Brolin as...
Brolin. Yeah, Josh Brolin. I got it. Let's go.
Llewellyn Moss. There's two L's, which is fucking dumb.
It's Llewellyn. That's how you spell Llewellyn.
Woody Harrelson as Carson Wells. I got that one.
You fucking love Woody Harrelson right now, don't you?
Yes. And Kelly MacDonald as Carla Jean Moss.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett Dillahunt as Wendell.
Yep.
Tess Harper as Loretta Bell, and Barry Corbin as Ellis.
I grabbed Stephen Root because he's in a lot of stuff.
He's in Barry.
He's in Barry, which is a very good TV show. If you haven't seen that TV show, it's great. It's on Max. It's about a hitman who wants to become a normal person, and
he does not. He has a
very hard time adjusting, and it's great. And then I also grabbed Beth. Oh, also Stephen Root's character didn't have a name. He was just the man.
Oh, yeah.
He was just the man who hired Carson. Mm-hmm. So Woody Harrelson's character. And then Beth Grant, I grabbed her because she's Carla Jean's mother, and I've seen her in a lot of other stuff too, but I couldn't tell you exactly what. Well, I could pull up and tell you who.
Did you ever watch Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah, I watched
Kelly McDonald's in that. Yeah. That's
Carla Jean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carla Jean was in that.
Oh, she was?
McDonald? Who are you talking about?
Oh, you're going by the character's name. Yeah, I was going by the actor name. Oh,
yeah, sorry. Okay. Carla Jean is, it's McDonald.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff, like recent stuff for...
she's been in?
The mom, the one that was the mom. She was in a TV series called Goliath, which was, I think, just straight to... straight to like Hulu or Netflix, wherever it was.
Oh, okay.
She was in that movie Amsterdam with... God, I can't think of his name at all right now. Christopher Nolan, Batman, Christian Bale, and Margot Robbie.
Oh.
That movie, Amsterdam, where they play, I think, like, thieves of some kind. Like,
yeah.
Trying to find some other stuff that she's been in, but she's been in, like, I'm looking at her, like, I can see a ton of stuff, and I know I've seen her in stuff, and they're... are so many things listed on her IMDb, like that. I know she's around. So she's like never. I don't think she's like ever really in the lead role, but she's like she's around,
like a supporting.
Just like Bad Words. She's listed as the bedazzled judge.
What?
Like the movie Bad Words was about the guy that enters the spelling bee. I fucking love Jason Bateman. So, like, anything he's in, I'll watch. So, I was like, I'll watch this, whatever. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything to write home about. But anyway, sorry, going off on a tangent. She's in a lot of stuff. Yeah. We run into that, like, a lot with these movies. I think there's been a few so far that just, like, this person is just like, oh, I see them all the time. It's like that guy that, there was, like, he's a background character in like Freaks and Geeks. He was in Teen Wolf. Like he was in the movie or the TV show Ted. He was like in so many. Like he's in so many things.
But he's just the background. Guy.
Yeah, like he's he's like glasses on, curly red like hair, a little bit overweight kid with freckles.
Oh,
like you would if I showed you a picture of him, you'd be like, oh yeah, I fucking know that guy. Mm-hmm. Because he's in like seven. Somebody like went through and made a reel of him that was like 5 minutes long, and it was just all him, just in the background of shots.
Any he's speaking moments? Or
never
no?
has a speaking no. moment. He's just a background.
I mean, hey.
And he's just like a professional background character, which is crazy. But anyway, I'm going off the rails. Sorry, already.
So, do you mean to go over the movies that came out in the time?
Yeah, if you want, I pulled up a list, but go ahead if you got some.
So this movie came out November 9th, 2007. Other movies that came out in the time, you got Superbad, Transformers, Ratatouille. I didn't know this one came out in 2007, but apparently There Will Be Blood came out in 2007. I thought that was, like, older.
I got another fun fact to fuck your mind.
What is this?
This movie was filmed at the exact same time as There Will Be Blood in the exact same town.
What?
Yeah. I have the name of the town too. Let's see here. Sorry. It took me a second. I've got a huge list of facts. Marfa, Texas.
Marfa.
Both No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood were filmed in Marfa, Texas at the same time as one another. During filming, they had to stop for the day when Paul Thomas Anderson tested the pyrotechnics for the oil derrick explosion in his film. So they were filming like a wide shot with like this guy, and there was just like a gigantic cloud or like of smoke that was filling the
sky. Could you imagine just like walking out town one day, you see Tommy Lee Jones, and then you see whatever the fuck his name is who plays... I abandoned my child! Like, whoever the fuck that is.
Sorry, I took a drink right when you said that. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, could you imagine seeing him just walking out? There goes Tommy Lee Jones. There goes Daniel Day-Lewis.
And then Paul Dano comes up and asks you for directions. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, did you see Tommy Lee Jones? And like, wait, I'm Paul Dano. Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah, I'm Rick.
I'm going to go be in Batman in a couple years.
But Paul Dano is like, I'm nothing against Paul Dano. I love Paul Dano.
He plays a great weirdo Prisoners.
He is great. Like, he's a great actor. Oh, yeah. But, like, if I saw him, I don't know if I would know I saw him.
he's just an average dude.
Yeah, he doesn't look off. I wouldn't be able to place him, probably. There's probably a bunch of celebrities I wouldn't be able to place if I saw him out in the wild.
A couple more that came out. American Gangster. The Mist. Fucking awful. Don't watch it. Pirates of the Caribbean. At World's End. Goated. I Am Legend. And Spooderman 3.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that Mist is fucking horrible.
Did you watch all of The Mist? Because I feel like you said about No Country for Old Men. Look, and you hadn't watched the end of No Country for Old Men.
Was there another Avengers scene at the end of the credits that I missed?
No, but apparently Chandler did the same thing you did at the beginning of Predator. He looked at his phone for 4 seconds and then he was like, the movie's fucking over, what happened?
I was engaged the entire movie. Actually took pretty good notes, and I think I looked down at my phone one time. I didn't even know it was towards the end of the movie. Next thing I'd look up, Tommy Lee Jones is talking, and then the credits roll. I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
So I'm also going to throw in there, Juno came out this year, or came out 2007. Shooter came out that same year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you said that one or not.
I only put down movies that I've seen.
And Hot Fuzz.
Never seen it.
Have you seen Hot Fuzz?
Oh, is that the one where he loads it? Shame?
Yeah, we're definitely going to watch Hot Fuzz on this because Hot Fuzz is probably one of my favorite movies, and it is just Simon Pegg is great, and there's like a series of Simon Pegg movies that all came out around the same time, same directors and he just same cast for the most part, but they are so fucking good. Like, that one is great. Shaun of the Dead is another one of those at the same time.
For British humor, it's pretty good. It still hits.
I love how you qualify it for British humor.
Dude, have you heard the British humor is like cut and dry.
So this is like, it's great, and there's so many like little callbacks in the movie that like just they start at the beginning of the movie and it goes all the way to the end, and it's great. I like it a lot. But yeah, we'll end up watching that, because if you guys haven't seen that, you're missing out. You really do need to watch it. It's good.
We're gonna start cutting into this bad boy.
No, we're gonna go over the budget and the other stuff real quick. Also, I'd like to point out too, this was made by Ethan and Joel Cohen, the Cohen brothers.
Jinx, you may kiss.
So the budget for this movie was $25 million.
Light work.
Domestic earnings were $74 million, and then international earnings of $97 million, for a total of $171.6 million.
My numbers are fucked. Where'd you get yours?
Box Office Mojo.
That's where I got mine.
What are you talking about?
My domestic was 74,000, international 97, and then worldwide 171 million.
Hey sir, it's not 74,000.
Oh, that's
74 million.
Why can't read?
that's not a decimal point, that's a comma.
It's numbers.
My bad. Oh, the ratings. IMDb.
Yes, please.
8.2 out of 10. Ugh. Rotten Tomatoes, 93%, a little overrated. And then audience was an 86.
I would love to point out to you that everywhere, you were wrong everywhere. If you're saying that you think, oh, this was a bad movie, everywhere.
Its moments.
Roger Ebert said this is one of the best movies he's ever seen in his life. And
what?
Yeah. Oh,
he's stupid.
And, oh, yeah. One of the most critically acclaimed critics of all time. This is fucking no good. It also won the Academy Award for Best Picture, Academy Award for Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Javier Bardem, Academy Award for Best Directing, Academy Award for Best Writing, and then it also won an Oscar for... Javier Bardem won an Oscar for Best Supporting Role. He was the first... Spanish actor to win an Oscar.
I think he likes the movie.
I'm not saying I have to love the movie. I just think that you can't just say this is a bad movie because of there's no reason to not.
He's trying to get brownie
there's
points
just so
with his fiance.
There's so many good things in this goddamn movie that you just like.
It was okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll play, you know, the guy from last week trying to prove to you why the good movie was good again. Because you might neither have to of
do
you,
it for me, too.
Neither of you seem to like it. Can you tell me what... Wait, hold on. We're going to start talking about the movie. First off, though, you can go watch it right now. Go do that. But I'm going to give you the kill count. So, if can you want to go watch it, go for it.
Did you count the driver?
Well, I didn't. No, here's what I'm going to say. I didn't count anybody that wasn't killed...
On screen?
Or after off screen? After the movie started. So I guess I didn't count...
I know what you're talking about.
I didn't count the bodies on the ground.
Okay.
During the initial, like that.
What the hell is that? What are you doing?
He's counting.
He's doing...
I was doing this in the car. I was like, is he counting the dead ones on the floor, or is he not? He's doing
meth. I mean, math.
Yeah. Crystal. I mean, algebra.
So well, what do you want to guess?
I'm going to say, I'm going to go with a 12.
Respectable.
12 feels good.
I also had the question asked of me, did you count the dog? I was like,
well, how many dog deaths? That's a whole lot.
There's category. Only one.
There's only one.
There's well, only one, you... but there was one on the ground, but yeah, yeah, I told you I didn't count this.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, no, I didn't count the dog.
Are you counting the end?
If the doll was the main character of the movie, sure. But since it was just a random dog coming at somebody,
FYI, I didn't count the... FYI, dogs die in this movie.
Yeah, one dog, some and you see a dead dog on the ground.
Some people can't handle that.
Some people can't. Don't watch Homeward Bound. I don't think there's any dogs that die in Homeward Bound, but
don't watch
sure during the filming.
Don't watch Cujo either.
Oh, that dog had it coming.
10.
16. What? Let me walk you through them. So, the deputy at the very beginning of the movie gets strangled by Anton in the cuffs.
Idiot.
The motorist that gets killed by the gas canister. The drug dealer that was in the car asking for agua. He's just dead in the next scene that we see him.
Forgot about the other driver, too.
Two management is what I counted. Anton shoots both of them. I actually counted the drug dealers being killed by management just because they come back. I call them management just because I think he called them the managers or something like that. But I don't think, honestly, they might not have been the ones that killed him because there was a set of drug dealers that came after Llewellyn that I don't think were management. But I digress. Mm. So three thugs killed by Anton in the hotel. The front desk clerk at the other hotel. The motorist that Llewellyn gets in his car and Anton shoots. Carson, who is killed by Anton. Businessman.
Oh, yeah. That's
that when he walks into his office and shoots him.
I forgot his wife.
The chicken man.
Yeah.
Gets killed by Anton. Llewellyn and a guest at the hotel that he dies at. And, sorry, I'm fixing something. There we go. Agnes dies of cancer. We're at her funeral. Yeah. And then Kelly, or not Kelly, Carla Jean. That's who I meant. Carla Jean. I don't know why I wrote Kelly. That's Carla Jean. She dies. That's a grand total of 16. Yes, I'm more positive. Than positive.
Are you sure?
Positive. Okay. It's implied.
They don't... Heavily.
But there's a chance.
No, there's not.
There could be.
There's not.
You're not getting past Antoine. I mean, Anton.
We'll get there.
Antoine. So, it's a 122-minute runtime, a total of 16 kills, and that means that every 7 minutes, somebody was dying in this film.
Makes sense.
Wow.
And I'm going to point out that it wasn't a bulk kill at any point. These were actually spread out
well. Very well. If you want to count the three.
The three were pretty quick in succession, yeah. But yeah, there, I mean, there's three and then two that are like kind of bulked up.
That one scene where he shoots the dude's hand and it's just like hanging there. That was sick.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. That was
fucked up.
That was practical.
You know what? A lot of things are practical. And we'll get into it right now.
That is true.
Now.
I don't think there's much CGI either.
So, do you want to go over why you didn't like the movie first?
Yeah. No.
Because if we go over it first, he can counter.
I'll explain it throughout. I didn't do too many facts. I did more of a play-by-play to keep us on track. But I will start. I'll say this. Here's the first line in my notes. I'll read the first line of my notes and the last line of my notes. It starts with Tommy Lee Jones narrating.
Okay.
What the fuck ending was that?
Yeah.
So, and then there's a bunch in between.
So to spark this off, here's a question.
Yeah. I wouldn't fuck Tommy Lee Jones. Oh, sorry. I thought it's a Mason question.
That was insinuated.
It's a Mason question. I figured I better answer it.
Would you take the money? If you were in that situation, would you take the money?
Well, yeah.
Antoine. It's Antoine. It's Antoine.
You want to come up with a different nickname for him?
Sugar.
Sugar, yeah.
Sugar.
Yeah. Sugar, I think he calls him Sugar. Carson calls him Sugar.
Yeah. But would you take the money if you found that money?
Yeah.
Meaning someone may or may not come after you.
I mean, I would have... Okay, we're getting a little bit ahead here, but I would have... What I'll say is I would have dumped the money out of the briefcase to see what else was in there, if you know what I'm getting at.
We already told him to go watch movie. Go fuck good and say him. There's okay, a tracker right, well, in there.
Yeah, I would have dumped the suitcase
to check shit,
and then he would have found the tracker sooner.
Yeah, but in the heat of the moment, you see $100,000.
You mean $200 million? Or sorry, $2 million, not $200 million.
$2 million.
It's $2 million.
Well, you see $2 million. You know.
Did you watch this movie?
I did, but I didn't. I didn't exactly get the number.
I forget when they say it, but they do say it at some point that it's $2 million. Might have been some Sugar said something, but
how much did you say this movie's budget was?
$25 million.
24 of it went to Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones actually sued Paramount for the like the distribution of bonuses and won.
What?
Yeah, so they used him top in this movie, even though he probably out of the three main characters had the least screen time, and he said that the bonuses weren't done properly and that he was owed money. Sued them. And for like $14 million, but ended up winning $15 million from them.
That stingy bastard.
That he didn't. He was mad that he didn't get enough screen time.
Bonus allocation was done improper. They didn't pay him enough.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, which
stingy bastard.
Oh well.
I mean, technically, the studio would have been the stingy bastards.
Well, that's true.
But yeah, I would to answer your question. I probably would assume. I'm probably already fucked anyway, so I might as well try to get away with this money because, sure. I've come across. Honestly, the real question is, do you think you could have tracked down the money? Like he hunts down the money because he looks around, sees that there's no money there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Do you run the risk? Do you just immediately he kind of figures out, oh, the money's not around, and then he goes and finds the guy with the money.
I think he got lucky.
You think that Llewellyn got lucky,
like
in finding him?
No, I mean like his chance, like the money could have been there. Could have been no money.
Yeah.
I just think the story in general, he got on a hunch.
Well, he was out there hunting.
Followed the blood trail.
Yeah, he figured out. Like, yeah, he and then he like he works it out that like the guy is gone. Like he's actually like he might have been a tracker in Vietnam.
He was hunting.
Yeah.
And found a truckload of Colombian bam bam.
I thought it was heroin.
I don't know.
He's just being funny. It was probably heroin.
Oh.
I think they call it Mexican heroin at some
Something
point.
Something like that.
But he was smart enough and has the skills to at least track something. He knew that there should be at least one last man standing, right?
Mm-hmm. And then they would have to be getting, they would have to be trying to get away, right? And get back, and he would go back the way that he came from. So he started to trail back the way they had come and finds the guy on a tree. And then watches him for a while before he goes out and sees, because he wants to see if the guy moves at all.
Could you imagine just being out hunting, just minding your own business and finding a death scene of drugs?
Yeah. I think if I saw a bunch of dead Spaniards, drugs, and then found money, I think I personally might leave it.
What?
I probably wouldn't. If I walked into it like he did, yeah. I'd probably just call the cops. Because
yeah.
Think about it this way. If I find drugs, or if I find money, yeah. Right? Money's probably dirty.
Yep.
And the drugs are like I don't know. I don't know how to sell drugs. Yeah. I don't use drugs. I don't have any need for drugs. And the money, like I said, is probably dirty. I don't know how to launder money in any way, shape, or form.
Go buy a car wash.
What the hell? I could do like there's a movie with Sean Penn and Christopher Walken, and I forget what the hell.
I Am Sam.
No.
He plays
a criminal, and he shows Sean Penn is his kid, and he shows him how to launder money. He goes buys a brand new car at a car dealership, and with cash, and then takes it across the street, sells it to the other car dealership, and gets four cash back.
So it's so just okay.
Yeah, so he's like that is the only way I would know how to launder money, and I don't think that's a good way to do it.
Tesla.
Yeah.
I'd like to sell this Tesla.
Would you like to purchase this? But yeah, that would probably roll through my head. And then, I haven't entered into the scene yet. If I just call this in, maybe I'm okay. Yeah. Maybe I don't die. Or maybe I just don't call it in. I just fucking leave because there's no way I'm out and about. Maybe they get away. They don't see me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that I don't go into the circle of death. Yeah. Right? Anyway, sorry.
No, you're
sorry. Good. Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, no, I'm... a good question. I probably would.
And Chandler would die.
No.
You think you'd outlast sugar?
What if I just took one stack? Just one stack. They wouldn't even know it's missing. I'd take it from the bottom.
I thought about that too. If you take a stack, they might not know.
It was 10 grand stacks, right?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you find that tracker too, and then you're like, "Oh, I don't want to touch any of this shit."
I'll take 10 grand.
He's spending that money though. Like he's walking around spending. It's also the 80s, so it might not be as easy to track money back then. I don't fucking know. I have no idea what it would have been like. But
was that the year?
Yeah, so it was a period piece for like 1980s. Well, yeah.
So I did it was the math.
Nineties.
I did the math. The scene where Anton goes to the gas station. He's telling the gas station clerk, he's like, keep the coin. The coin's from 19... He goes, what year's on the coin? And the guy says, 1958. He goes, that year, that coin has been going...
That coin has been traveling for 22 years to get to this moment.
Yeah. So I did 1958 plus 22 brings you to 1980.
Good catch.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have another spoof about that. That scene that you're talking about where the main bad guy, decides that guy's fate pretty much at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
So he's using the coin. He tells the guy to call heads or tails.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, depending on what he calls, is going to determine what happens next. I think that's a little spoof from Mr. Tommy Lee Jones playing Two-Face.
Two-Face. See, this brings up another question. So I understand that whole scene was... That scene kept me on edge because so far seeing the movie, you just seen Anton kill two people.
Sorry, Chandler doesn't have any beer tonight, so you won't hear a at any point, but instead you'll hear him go hur, hur, with some whiskey in his mouth because he wants some more whiskey.
Hold on.
Oh, there you go.
little cork pop. Sorry, go ahead.
So that whole scene where he's in the gas station... was super tense because so far in the movie, so far in the movie, you've seen Anton kill two people without reasoning. So you assume he's going to kill this guy. But my question is that scene almost didn't.
Thank you.
That scene almost didn't need to be there. So do you think it was to show something about Anton that
I think that's
he's purely going off of fate because they could have cut that whole scene out and just did it at the end.
I think they put that scene in to just show how evil he is and killing the random guy
because he kills random people all the time.
Well, he kills that guy on the side of the highway in the beginning just
and he kills the cop
because the cop I understand he's trying to get away but yeah he's just ruthless. I think they're just trying to paint a picture for him the entire time.
Do you think there's a deeper reason?
Look at that grin. No,
I think
dude.
I think I want you guys to talk about the movie and then I'll come in later and I'll just tell you all the ways that you're just kind of off your own asses. Well, okay, so...
Do you know something we don't? Yeah.
Yes, this movie was based off of a novel by Cormac McCarthy.
We don't read books.
I can't read? Yeah, you've heard me read. Everyone who listens to this has heard me read.
We don't read here.
So it was based off of a novel by Cormac McCarthy. Cormac McCarthy has had three books other than this one made into novels. All the Pretty Horses, The Road, and Child of God. Those have all been adapted from his books into movies. And this is the first time the Coen brothers adapted a book into a movie. This first adaptation they've ever done. And they pretty much kept everything dialogue wise in the movie.
Does the books explain more than the movie?
It might. I don't know. They actually talked about how quick it was. They read through the book. I've never read the book myself. But they go into a lot of detail. Actually, they kept the scenes true to the book, but they actually cut down some of the talking, which is kind of the opposite of what they would typically do. They normally have long dialogue scenes. They cut down a lot of it to kind of add to the tense atmosphere. The scene that you guys are talking about with the clerk, and I feel like after this, I just wanted you guys to talk for a while, and then I'll maybe talk to you guys afterward, because I want to hear what you have to say from a perspective of not knowing some things.
Okay.
So, very beginning of this, the movie, Chandler said, I'm rolling back a little bit. Chandler says that Tommy Lee Jones is narrating, and he is, right? He's talking, he's going through, and I actually played that beginning part again while we were waiting for you to get here. And
he's such a good storyteller.
Tommy Lee Jones tells a story about how he arrested a man, or a kid, mm-hmm. for killing his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. They said the newspapers called it a crime of passion. Mm-hmm. He killed his 14-year-old girlfriend, but he said it wasn't passion at all. It was he was planning on killing somebody since he could remember, and he just decided to kill her. And if he ever got out, he would kill again. And he's like, wow, I thought that was like a bizarre thing to say. And he's like, well, I know I'm going to hell. I'll be there in about 15 minutes, because he was going to get the electric chair. And it was just kind of showing this just evil. This person is evil. And he just didn't. And Tommy Lee Jones' character says something like, I just couldn't understand it. Like, he's the good guy. Tommy Lee Jones is the good guy. Anton is evil incarnate. Mm-hmm. And Llewellyn is the, like, everyman that's just kind of in the middle of it. Just like, he tries to survive. A little bit tainted, a little bit good, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So we go from that stuff. We see Shiger, by the way, we skipped over, and I know we're not doing a blow by blow, but one thing that I think that you might find very interesting, they designed a like prop, like chest piece for the cop that gets strangled, because the if you strangle somebody with handcuffs on, it's going to hurt your wrist like hell, and it's going to hurt the guy that's doing it. So they had to they made a prop. And then at the very, so it's like a big prop chest piece that they mm-hmm. designed, and it like at the very end, it bursts at just the right time. The blood spurts out of it and all over the place. Pretty neat. It was, it was cool to see like the design. I was watching some behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
So we see that, and then we see him go kill that motorist to take his vehicle. It's not necessarily random. He kills him because he needs a vehicle that's not a cop car. Might have been the first car he saw. And then he goes to the, he's at that scene where he's filling up, and the guy just kind of talks to him, asking about the weather, where he's from. He's like, what business of yours is it where I'm from? And he's like, I'm just making conversation. And he's just, like completely hostile, just mean for no reason. And he does that too later on when he's talking to, I think, Carla Jean, and, maybe even when he's talking to Carson, Woody Harrelson's character, and even when he was talking to Llewellyn on the phone. But we get set up where he's like kind of back and forth with this guy, and the guy's like, well, I'm going to be closing up soon. They actually filmed it earlier in the day than where it kind of takes place in the book, because in the book, it actually is starting to get a little bit darker out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, because he asked the question, he's like, when do you close? And he's like, well, we're closing now. And he's like, no, now is not a time. When are you closing? And he's like, well, when it gets dark. And he points around, and it's very light outside.
It's like
bright.
It's like middle of the day.
Yeah, it's like, this guy, they're just trying to show you how fucking scary he is for, you know, no reason. It gives off an air of evil almost. And then he does the coin scene, or he's like, he talks about the coin. He says, call it. and then he flips the coin, and or he asks the question. He's like, "What's the most you ever, or what's the most you've ever lost on a coin toss?" Mm. And then the guy wins the coin toss, and he says, "Keep it." And he's like, he goes to put it in his pocket. He's like, "Don't put it in your pocket, because it might get mixed in with the other coins, and it's not just any other coin. But if it gets mixed in with your other coins, it would just be any other coin or something like that."
Pretty much saying the coin saved his life.
Very fucking cryptic. Yeah, like he's like this whole thing. But yeah, I think it's mostly too to show like he'll kill anybody, but like he's got. I think I described him earlier to somebody as lawful evil. He has a set of rules that he will follow.
Gives everybody a chance.
He has the coin. He'll follow the coin because I think he believes in fate. He also believes in his word. His word is his bond, kind of thing. That's what we get later on. Whenever he tells Carla Jean that he told Llewellyn he was going to kill her.
Yeah,
that's his word is his bond, kind of thing. So, and I think Woody Harrelson's character, Carson, also says something to the extent of, like, he's got his own rules, whatever fucked up, twisted mm-hmm. rules they are, but he's got them, or something like that. But yeah, that's all kind of to line that up, and it's just kind of, like, showing that. But yeah, that was all taken, like, from the novel, so that was in there, so... But yeah, I'm curious.
Let's go into some things I don't fucking like about this movie.
Go blow by blow. Talk to your heart's content. I'd like to just pop in and fill in when I can.
I did like, I think one of the more funny scenes of the movie is when he does find the other dead guy under the tree with the money.
Oh, yeah.
Decides to keep it, take everything back to his house. And his wife starts interrogating him about it. He's, here, I got the notes here.
Also, when he finds that money, he makes it, he goes, He grunts. he was just supposed to find the money and nothing. Like, he was just supposed to, like, silently take it. Yeah. But they felt like it needed something. That was improv'd by Josh Brolin.
The grunt
is like, Like, it's just like, he's like kind of making the decision, like, well, this is what I'm doing today.
Well, he hides the gun under the house. Brings in the suitcase and the pistol, like no big deal.
Yeah.
His wife starts interrogating him, and he goes, "You keep running that mouth, I'm gonna take you in the back and screw you." I thought that was pretty entertaining.
Here's my problem. Who is Anton? Did he get hired by the cartel? Because there's two people who are hunting for. Fuck. How do you say it? Llewellyn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Llewellyn. There's two people who are hunting three. There's the cops, who are the good guys. There's the cartel, who want to kill him. And then there's also Anton. Where is Anton coming from in this whole thing?
They don't really go into it.
Is he a hitman? I'm assuming he is a hitman, but like obviously this money is the cartel's money, so I'm just trying to figure out where the fuck Anton's coming from. Right. And if Anton was hired by the cartel, why is Anton also killing cartel members?
Because he's evil.
Yeah, I know, but like, if the cartel hired him, wouldn't he be working with the cartel? See, that was my problem. I'm like...
This is why I don't like drug movies.
I know you have something to say.
Like a free agent, kind of. I think he works I think he works for both entities whenever necessary. Because I think he works for the manager, like those people that he shows up, and those two dudes show up that are in like suits,
Carson's people, or
I would say not Carson's people, but the guy that hires Carson's people. So I'm gonna have to refer to him by his actor's name because he doesn't have a name.
Yeah, Stephen Root.
Yeah,
Stephen. Well, why would he kill Stephen Root then?
Because he sent Carson to kill him.
Carson was supposed to kill him.
Yeah, Carson was supposed to get the money back and I think kill Anton. He asked him to kill Shiger.
Okay.
Because Shiger is kind of out of control, is what he said.
Okay.
So I think, because ultimately, like, he's talking about him killing the cop, he's killing the motorist and stuff like that, and I think he might have been on his way to that scene because something happened and no one had heard from anybody from the interaction. So I don't necessarily think he worked for the cartel, but it's possible that he could have been hired by them at some point, because I think he's a hired gun, kind of like Carson.
Yeah, I assumed he was like a hitman or something.
Yeah, and I think he starts out working for Steven's character.
Yeah.
Like he's working for them, but ultimately they kind of cut ties with him, but he still has... his job to play, yeah, because that's his fucked up set of rules and motivation is like, oh, I got hired to do this, so I'm going to finish this job no matter what. Like, even if they're trying to kill me, I'm going to kill who they send, and then I'm going to bring them the fucking money.
So this was my other problem, too. I probably took a piss and missed it, but how...
There's a pause button.
How did Anton figure out that Llewellyn had the money?
The truck?
Oh, yeah, he did leave. Okay. Yeah, he did leave his truck there.
Let me lay this out for you guys.
Because that's when the cartel came after him.
Yeah, here's what I did, guys. Okay. I said the truck, and then I sat back in my seat, and Mason looked at me like I just I pulled my penis out.
Wouldn't be the first time that happened this week, by the way. Not from Riker.
What?
Oh, he's talking about work.
Yeah. What?
Turn into the After Hours podcast.
Chandler only goes, I missed it.
Only available on Patreon.
Only fans.
But no, I leaned back and just let Mason stew in it for a minute, and he's like, okay.
All right, yeah. I probably took a piss and missed that part. But,
I forget who, I think it's one of the management dudes pries it off or something like that, and hands it to him or something like that, but it's a tag.
Just tells him to go for him.
And another thing that's kind of said by Josh Brolin's character, Llewellyn, he says, it's Sunday, and that means that the courthouse will open up on Monday, and they'll know who, they'll be able to see who that truck's registered, so they're going to be coming here looking.
And he did. He came to his trailer and started looking for him after he'd already left with the money.
So, that's how.
But okay, I will say this real quick, because I didn't say this at the beginning. My first impression, before I even hit play on this movie or read the summary of it, I thought this was going to be a Western.
It is.
It is kind of like an homage to Western-ish.
Farm, like farm rodeo type.
Yeah, I will say it's kind of like they've taken like... They've taken Western and kind of modernized it. Like, they've made it a little bit more, like, if you look at the cars are all circled up like wagons would have been, right, during, like, an exchange.
Yeah.
There's little things in there, and, like, you know, it's kind of like duels happen a couple of times in the movie. And it's all kind of, like, very stoic in the same ways.
But that's not what I mean. I mean, I get what you're saying, but that's not what I meant.
What do you mean?
I thought... Oh,
he thought that there were no cars. It was going to be back like...
No. Oh. No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying it could have been a time with cars. I thought it was like they lose the farm or something like that.
Oh, you thought this is going to be like, we got to go win the rodeo in order to be able to afford our land.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I was about some welder who just walks onto some money.
Yep.
I love to. This is kind of like, he says, I'm a retired welder. It's like he's talking to Carson. And I think the moment he retired was the moment he found that $2 million. Yeah. Just like, I think he tells Carla G, she's like, I'm just a Walmart greeter. And he's like, you're retired Walmart greeter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a couple of things that I did like about this movie. I did like the aesthetic of it. That, like, West Texas, like, that Western type feel that Chandler was saying. I did like that.
Did you know that Tommy Lee Jones grew up in, like central Texas, kind of like
really
West Texas adjacent, same area that Carson, Woody Harrelson's character, mm-hmm, was supposed to have been born. So Woody he kept like grilling Woody Harrelson during the filming and stuff, like fucking with him a little bit, just asking him like, so you know, like, what would you like, what do you think we would do here? And he's like, god damn it. Actually kind of funny too, the woman that plays Carla Jean,
mm-hmm,
she is Scottish.
Yeah.
And she has
a great Southern accent.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones actually like made comment like that he just thought she was great. He loved her. It's like she was the farthest away from
the South.
Yeah, from the South that anybody else could have been. Yeah. So Tommy Lee Jones was from the town that Llewellyn Moss was from. Sorry, a point that Tommy Lee Jones brought up many times to Josh Brolin. So I was wrong. It wasn't Carson. Oh, okay. It was Josh Brolin's character Llewellyn. So he's apparently he kept bringing it up to him over and over again. Also, another thing too, Joel Cohen was skeptical about Kelly MacDonald, if she could actually play Carla G. He didn't like, he didn't know if she'd be able to pull it off. Yeah, and she pulled it off.
I think
better
she pulled
than
it off pretty well. Yeah, but no, yeah, some of the aesthetics of the movie I liked, and I also liked how there wasn't any music.
Did you like the time period?
Yeah, I really liked the time period.
No.
So when I first started watching it, before they said it was the 80s, well, before I put it together that it was the 80s, I thought it was almost like early 2000s. And they were just living poor and like they had old TVs and shit. But I thought the time was really cool. West Texas 80s.
I think it's a good, it kind of paints a better, like more fun picture of like harder to contact people, harder to find people.
I thought the tracker in the briefcase was a little much.
I thought that was interesting. I was like, how the fuck does this thing work? And then it just like, it starts to beep. And when he gets like, within like what, 500
yards, maybe?
It's close.
I thought that was a bit much, but everything else was pretty realistic.
I think they kind of give you, they kind of have that just for the fact, or I'm assuming McCarthy wrote that into the book, or Cormac McCarthy. Yeah, it's McCarthy. I wanted that he wrote that into the book to make it make sense as to how, like, instead of it just almost just being like the omnipotent, like knowing like everything,
where he is, no matter
he's
what.
He's kind of like he's driving around past hotels and stuff, and then beep beep, must be here, right?
Yeah,
that kind of thing. So I feel like that's kind of there as kind of like he's not, you know, he's not all knowing. He just he's using a tool. And Llewellyn, although like very smart and doing a lot of good things, still not as smart as he like should be. With he didn't check the bag at all. He didn't change the vessel he was carrying the fucking money in. That seems like a huge misstep.
But he's on the run now. You know, he sends his wife away to keep her safe, and he's on the run now.
That fucking woman at the front desk is a goddamn G.
Yeah.
She's like, well, where does he work? I'm not telling you that. I can't
tell you.
Where does he work? I can't tell you. Where does he work?
Did you hear me?
She don't give a shit.
I honestly was hoping death for her, and then the toilet just like went off in the next room, and he just walked out. He's like, "Oh, dude, I'm gonna fucking kill you."
You know what scene scared the fuck out of me? It was when Anton's sitting there with Carson, and the phone starts ringing. I jumped. It scared the fuck out of me. Yeah, I don't know why it did. It just scared the shit out of me.
It's a good scene.
It is a good scene.
You remember anything cool about the motel sign? The first one?
The Dell.
When he's on the run and he stays at the first motel.
The one where he puts the money in the
hair vent?
No, I didn't notice.
Free HBO. What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I pay $14.99 for HBO right now. They have free HBO back then.
In the 80s.
Pay on the month?
I'm serious.
Huh? You pay based on the month?
Yeah.
I buy it for the year.
Okay.
Is it cheaper?
Yeah, it's $140 a year.
Or just go move into a hotel or a motel that has it for free.
Right.
So it's like,
what a time
$28
to be,
cheaper.
I even have that in my notes. What did they have back then besides porn?
On HBO.
I don't know. I was born in 91.
Well, I'm just saying. They didn't have Band of Brothers. I was only watching porn.
I mean, seriously.
I would like to point some stuff out here, just for funsies, because I know you're big into this stuff, and you were talking about stuff you like, and you didn't really get into this. Maybe you were going to, but the guns.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, like, have any thoughts or feelings about the guns? Anything specific? Because you did like to call them out.
The suppressor was very unrealistic.
Oh, well, I will tell you that was a custom gun they actually had made.
Really?
They made that. They actually now have a shotgun suppressors you can buy. But like that was a custom build, like for the movie. Yeah,
the sound effect they used for it was a nail gun, right?
I forget. I don't know exactly. I didn't get that much. It could have been. The guns were very detailed in the book that McCarthy wrote. Moss had a basic hunting rifle, a Remington 700, same kind of a weapon that Army snipers would have used. Moss takes a 12-gauge shotgun and saws it off in the motel, a Winchester Model 97, the only model that matched what McCarthy said in his book. He worked the pump and let the hammer down. Shotgun with a silencer had to be specially made to meet the description that was in the book. And the cattle gun, the captive bolt pistol, they made two different versions of it. A cylinder shot, or a cylinder that shot out, and one that pressed backwards to give the actor something to know that they were actually getting some resistance. They didn't really get into the like the pistols or like the MP5 yeah. or whatever else that he finds. But
how many times did he use the kettle? I think at least like twice.
He kills the motorist with it.
Yeah.
He uses it to open the door on Llewellyn's house.
I thought it was the only gun he had.
The cattle prod?
The big gun.
Oh, no, the shotgun. No, we're talking about the cattle prod when he used that.
I think he only got like one kill on it, didn't he?
I think he killed one person with it.
On and
then,
screen.
Then he used it to open the door to Llewellyn's house, Llewellyn's hotel room. But when he killed the three guys that were inside of mm-hmm. his first hotel yeah. room, and then he blasted it into Llewellyn's shoulder when he's in his like second hotel room.
Oh yeah.
And then I think he uses it. Yeah, he also uses it when he is at the hotel when Tommy Lee Jones's character goes back to look to see if somebody returned to the scene. So I think he only
got one kill with that thing on screen.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I thought it was
interesting.
I also really like he talks about like so they talk about the like I think was it Wendell? Is that his name?
Wendell,
the deputy. Wendell talks about they looked for the bullet, but there was no bullet. It. And Tommy Lee Jones is like, what? Like he went and rooted around and got it out after he was done yeah. shooting him. And he's like, I don't know. And then later on, he's talking to Carla Jean, and he's like describing the thing that like it's like Kenny, like he's putting it together as he's talking yeah. to Carla Jean. Like, oh shit, that was a he used that to kill. Kill that guy. And I think they also they talked about like when you think about Shiger uses that weapon to kill this guy because people are no like different than animals to him. Mm-hmm. Like he's just like it kills a kill. So
anyway, $26 for a hotel room. What a time to be alive.
So another point that I did like was how our main protagonist did die. I did like that because it seems like in a lot of movies, it's all you from the beginning of the movie, you see the problem, you kind of already can guesstimate what's going to happen. But my problem was after he died, it almost felt like it was dragging. Like I understood that there needed to be an end to the story. Yes, I hated the ending, but I'm glad that it wasn't like every other movie ending.
There's nothing else like that ending. Are you
kidding? What, did the bad guys win?
I mean, no, the bad guys win sometimes. I'm just saying, just cut, like done.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that pissed me off. It kind of was like a Sopranos ending to shit. It just kind of fucking ended. And, like, it almost seemed like...
I texted you. I said, what the fuck is that?
Dude, and then the whole thing with, like, Tommy Lee Jones, like, what was his whole point in the movie?
Well I got kind of something. And I can't take credit for this, because I even told Riker. I had to Google explain ending.
I feel like, honestly, whenever I watch a movie that makes me have to, like, dig, yeah. I feel like I enjoy those movies more, because I'm like, I don't know what to feel right now. I need to know more. I need to like learn something mm-hmm. else about this fucking movie, because I don't understand. So it makes a ton of sense. So go ahead and tell what you got. I've got like some thoughts.
Well, I don't want to skip to the end and jump to the end or anything, but I did find this summary on Google.
Okay.
And it said, at the end, Tommy Lee Jones's character is coming to the sad realization that he can't keep up with the evil in this world. Because he's talking about retiring. You know?
Yeah.
Well, actually, at the end of the movie, he is officially
yeah. done.
Retired.
Yeah.
He's sitting there having breakfast with his wife. But the whole film, he is always one step behind what's happening, if you notice that. He's always late to everything. Like, he misses everything. And Anton is something that he just cannot wrap his head around, how pure evil he is. And he doesn't know how to overcome that, and he realized that his time has come to, you know, just be done with it. That's
what so I, that was his point. That was his role in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, his role in the movie was to show that. I think that's why the line. The name of the movie comes from an old poem by I think it's Benjamin Yeats. I'm trying to find it.
Not to interrupt you, but while you're looking at that, I think the ending was so sudden and so shocking and surprising was because I don't know about you guys, but for me, anytime Tommy Lee Jones was narrating or talking on the screen, it like sucked you in. Like, mm-hmm. you were full focus the way he describes everything and tells his side of the story. I was so like into it. And like I said, I looked down at my phone for like,
and it was over
5-10 seconds, and then I look back up and it's saying directed by, and I'm like, the hell, he was telling a story. But
about the dream he had.
Yeah
And then like watching this to the end of the movie,
this movie's deeper than
it definitely is
what it puts on.
But at the end of the movie, I specifically remember looking at it and going, what the fuck was the theme of this movie?
They're clear, like Riker said, they're clearly showing that a bad guy can win, but they did it in the most weird way possible.
Yeah.
So the title was taken from the William Butler Yeats poem, Sailing to Byzantium. In it, it talks about the agency, or it's the agony of the old age, and imagine what the afterlife would be like. So when he's talking about his dream at the end of the movie, he's talking about how he's older than his father would have been when he died, and now that he would be the old man in that whole thing, and that he, in his dream, his father passes him while he's in the, like, they're riding horseback in the mountains, and his father passes him, and then he goes ahead, and he knows that he's gonna light a fire, and that eventually one day he'll meet him. So like, it's kind of thinking about like where you'll be in the afterlife, kind of thing, like where you're going to get to. And there's actually a I don't know if it's on purpose, but in the second hotel that Llewellyn's sitting in, and he's staring at the door, there's a painting on the wall. It's two men on horseback in the mountains. So it could be foreshadowing for like that. But like Chandler said, he's behind all the time. The evil in the world. He tells the story about this kid. The kid doesn't understand it. Talks about, Anton, and Anton is evil, and just like he can't figure him out as to why he would do the things that he does. We see a bunch of times in the movie, there's so many scenes where people come up to him and is like, that DEA agent wanted to know if you want to go back out to crime scene. He's like,
no.
Any new bodies out there? Nope. Why would I go out there? Like, he knows
he's old school.
He knows what he needs to know, and he doesn't feel like he even talks about how some sheriffs would carry pistols and some wouldn't. Just didn't feel like it was necessary, because some of them just didn't deal with the evil like in that way.
So do you think it'd be a fair statement? Because so far we've talked mostly about Tommy Lee Jones in this podcast today. Do you think it's fair to say that this movie is more about Tommy Lee Jones' character other than Llewellyn?
No, I think that there's a piece of it. So there's three pieces of this. It's the piece that is that showing of Javier Bardem's character, mm-hmm. and showing Llewellyn's character, and it's also showing Ed. Ed has, again, the smallest amount of screen time, but there's not there's no missing impact there. Like they're telling that story for a reason. You should know that this person is seasoned. He knows everything. When he walks onto that crime scene, he has so much knowledge in his head. He's going through it with Melvin or whoever the fuck is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't remember the character's name. But he's with his deputy, and his deputy doesn't seem to know shit.
Yeah.
And he's got this wealth of knowledge. He knows everything, and he just knows it. But even still, he can't keep up to the two that are ahead of him.
I thought it was kind of funny to show how old school he is. Instead of driving a truck or a car out to the crime scene, he loads a horse into a trailer. Drives so far to the crime scene, unloads the horse, and goes to the crime scene with his deputy, both on horseback.
Mm-hmm.
That's how old school he is.
See, because the way I'm thinking about it right now is, I feel like this story is more about Tommy Lee Jones' character, and it's being portrayed, like everything's happening because of everything that's going on with Llewellyn. So you're getting to see everything that's adding up in Tommy Lee Jones' character because of, like I just said, what happened to Llewellyn. Because if nothing happened to Llewellyn, Tommy Lee Jones would just be doing the same shit he's doing. So, I mean, I'm starting to think right now more that this story is more about Tommy's character than Llewellyn.
I think it's less about Llewellyn than anyone else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he had the most screen time.
Yeah. I think Javier Bardem's character, Anton's character, is also like another big piece of it, right? Like he's
so it's more of a Javier and
yeah, it's Tommy. good versus evil, okay. Kind of, right? And evil wins in this case, and just evil continues to get worse and worse as we go on, because you have Llewellyn's character who is determined. Like I would almost say, good and evil and human, right?
Yeah.
Llewellyn's character is the human in this scenario. He finds money, gets greedy, takes the money, and then is being hunted by death, right? Yeah. Evil. Evil's coming for him because he took money and he was evil. And then also, good is out there trying to find him, but good isn't as good at hunting as evil has become, right? So it's they're coming, like they're trying to do what they can do. And yeah, we're watching Tommy Lee Jones character realize that, like, I can't keep up. And we watch Llewellyn's character realize that, like, he can't protect everything he thinks he can. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of in over his head. And Javier Bardem's character is just dead set on a mission of, I'm doing this thing, no one can stop me from doing this thing, it's unstoppable kind of thing. Like Carson even makes the joke, it's like, when the guy hires him, Stevens, Root is just like, do you, like, what do you know of him, or something along those lines. Is he a bad guy? He's like, bad in comparison to what?
Yeah,
the bubonic plague. He's like, yeah, like he this is a really fucked up, mean guy. Like he's bad. So I would say, yeah, Llewellyn's like on screen a lot. He gets most of the screen time, but he is,
he's a medium.
He's between these two entities, and evil is closer always.
Mm-hmm. Llewellyn puts up a good fight, though, for being a blue collar, normal, average person. Though he puts up a good
brother
fight.
Was a nom.
Two tours a nom.
Right.
Yep.
I will say this though. So clearly he's on the run. He knows he's going to be on the run for a while. And he uses some of the money to go buy some new clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're in Texas. And I know he's probably a diehard cowboy. Dude, you're on the run. And you have a briefcase full of money. Instead of going out and buying some brand new, super uncomfortable cowboy boots, how about some Nikes, dude? You're allowed to wear Nikes when you're on the run, okay? Your feet wouldn't be as sore. Remember when he takes his socks off, his feet are all beat up? He's running in cowboy boots.
Where was he taking this money to? Because he tried calling Roberta. Was there something, like, that's another part that confused me, was he...
Did I miss something?
I think he was trying to buy a car with the cash.
An unregistered car.
So the way he could go, like, take off and, like, disappear.
I think he was going to get an unregistered car, pick up his wife, and then they were just going to go. The way I understood it.
Yeah, so. I don't think he had a destination other than Roberto's.
Because Roberto, so...
Just fucking not around, yeah, I guess.
So Roberto's the biggest villain out of them all.
He's a brother that ain't there for you.
Exactly.
Ciao.
Roberto. Oh, that's nice.
That's you. Yeah, because I was really confused on that part, but...
Who's Helen?
Sorry, Chandler's on a Waterboy kick now. Can't stop him.
Sorry.
Who's Helen?
That's your daddy.
Oh my god!
So, all right, I'm done.
I don't think he had a plan as to he was kind of like, he knew he needed to get out of there, didn't know exactly. So his thought was, send my wife to the safest place I can think of, and then also I'll take the briefcase with me, and I'll have the money, so I'll be in the most danger, and even though we find out that that's not necessarily the case, because if they can't catch him, they're going to start hunting her because they're married, right? If they weren't married, that would be a different story, but she's got his last name.
Yeah.
So guess what? Leverage, baby. So yeah, it makes sense.
That's all about all that I have for negative and confused about. So
I was gonna say we don't need to do a play by play. Yeah, we've said the gist of it. It wasn't a bad movie. It did keep my attention for the 2+ hours.
I think the ambiguous ending probably is what threw you the most.
It had a little bit of a slow start, and then the ending. Yeah, the ending pissed me off, but.
A slow start. There was two kills within the first 5 minutes of the movie. Just so you guys know, slow start.
I didn't say it was slow.
Tommy Lee Jones narrated the fucking opening, and I can't even deal. I can't deal with this guy.
I'm sorry.
See, my problem is at face value.
Slow wasn't the right word. Okay.
We'll see.
See, like, well, my problem is at face value. After watching the end of the movie, if we wouldn't have sat here and talked about it like this, I still wouldn't. I wouldn't have understood the movie. I'd have just been like, "Okay, what the fuck? What was that?"
It's like a Shyamalan movie.
Yeah, I know. Like, so sitting down and like actually talking about it helped me understand it more. But I'm gonna rate it off of how I felt after I watched it.
Oh yeah, I'm rating it how I felt yesterday. Yeah. Not today.
Yeah.
I feel angry and I just want to be mad for no reason. Even though I have the capacity to learn and find things out, I'm not going to do it. I hate everyone and everything. I'm going to throw rocks through your window, you stupid bitch.
Doing this movie did give me a great idea that I think we need to throw into the segment. I think we need to throw in from time to time where one of us, only one out of three, has seen the movie, and the other two have to take a guess about what the movie's about just based on the cover. Like me, I was way off on this one. Like I said, I thought that they got the three main characters on the cover, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, they're all ranchers, and they're about to lose the farm, and, you know, whatever. No. Whoa.
Yeah.
Way off. So I think we need to try that one time. That'd be great.
But I need to try that out.
I think I made when we were talking about doing this for the first time, I said that I think it would be great if we did that, but one of us was randomly selected to not watch the movie, and the other two had to get, like, we had to try to guess at the end who hadn't seen the movie.
That would be funny.
Like yeah,
who can play along?
Who
can play dumb and blend in the longest?
Who can lie the hardest, right? Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be a good one, too.
That means that we wouldn't be able to do, like, their deep dive shit that, like, research-wise, I do typically, which saved me a lot of fucking time, that's for sure. But it doesn't even fucking matter, because you guys don't even give a shit. Oh, man.
I mean, if you have any more cool facts, lay it on us.
Bullshit. No, it's not. You said you weren't going to rate the movie based on anything other than how you felt yesterday.
It might help.
I'll fucking end you. Like,
help me.
Shiger killed that woman for sure, 100%.
Help me help you.
So Shiger also had a phobia of blood, having blood like on him or around him. Really? So that's why whenever in the kill scene hotel, he moves the curtain in front of the guy before he shoots him with the shotgun.
What a fucking weirdo.
When he shoots Carson in the hotel, he lifts his feet off of the ground instead of letting the blood pool and like hit his feet. That's why at the end of the movie, when he kills Carla Jean, sorry, I forgot her name for a second. He kills her. He checks his boots when he walks out of the house to make sure he ain't got blood on him.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, he stops at the door and like lifts his feet up to take a look.
Well, when he gets shot in the leg and
he gets in the bathtub.
Well, not even that. When he's fixing himself up, patching himself, doesn't he lay down like a bunch of crap on the floor?
Yeah, like, puts down a big plastic sheet. Like a mat. Yeah. A whole bunch of other stuff and does like some triage on his own leg, which is fucking cool. Also, in the book, Carla Jean calls it. She actually calls the coin.
Really?
Yeah. And it's heads. And she failed. And she says heads and it's tails. And So the reason also the coin exists, I think, too, is to kind of allow for, like I said, fate to make a decision. But that's why she was pissed off, because she's like, he's like, I gave my word to your husband. He's like, you gave your word to my husband? You would kill me? Like, she's confused because he does tell him, if you give me the money, she won't be held accountable.
But you will.
But you will be, because you can't escape your fate. I'm going to kill you regardless. And he doesn't. He doesn't kill him, so he gets away from that. But he's is killed by the Mexicans that come looking for him, which I think is a great like great thing because like again, this is real. Like there's so much real shit that happens in it. Like at the end of the movie, Sugar is hit by a fucking car. Like in his car, he's got a green light. And he gets hit by a car, and you're like, "Oh shit, is somebody after him?" No, it's just a car accident because fucking car accidents happen.
When he gives that kid $100 for that shirt, my dumb ass didn't even realize it because so the movie has ended at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I'm saying the movie was over, playing credits, and I'm like, did he get the money? Did he get the briefcase? My dumbass was like, he had just $100 in his pocket that he gave to that kid. Whatever. I'm like, and then I thought for a minute, I'm like,
That wasn't his money.
Huh?
He would have given that money back. Sugar would have not kept the briefcase of money. He would have taken the money to where it was supposed to go.
Well, right. But
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? It was like a hint.
Yeah, that like, oh, he got the fucking... Yeah, he did win. He did get the thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also you see in the hotel room, Tommy Lee Jones sees the screws are undone on the vent and stuff like that.
Is he behind the door the entire time, Tommy Lee Jones is just walking around in there?
He's either behind the door or in the next room. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's either one of those things.
I thought he was under the bed.
No.
Somebody on Google said that he was in the room behind the door, and when Tommy Lee Jones walks into the bathroom for a second,
he leaves.
He just ditches.
Yeah. It's.
Oh, he just goes out the front. Oh, okay.
Because we do see him standing looking at the door. So I'm assuming like I said, I would assume that he's looking at the hole in the door, but like he's just waiting for the door to get opened.
I feel like this movie did exactly what it's supposed to do. Everybody's supposed to come up with their own theories, speculations, you know, what have you. I think, and mission accomplished.
But it also tells a good story of, like, you know, like exactly what it is. No Country for Old Men. That means that Tommy Lee Jones's character can't keep up anymore. Eventually the younger generation has to take over and figure shit out. And
so would the theme of this movie be to retire?
It would
invest
be
in a 401k
to hopefully get to retire.
Yeah,
because he talks about like how
they moved to Florida.
They talk about his uncle gets fucking gunned down by a bunch of outlaws at his house, and like he's dying on his porch.
You know, it's still like,
I would never want to live in Texas.
Dude, when he was talking about that, I kept forgetting it was like the 1980s. And he's saying, yeah, these Indians came up and gunned him down. I'm like, Indians? I'm like, this movie's like in 2007. What the fuck? Wow. And I was like, oh, wait, no, it's in the 80s. So.
Yeah. And like he said, his dad, when his dad died, he was younger than he was.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of interesting beats. And it's, I don't know, there's like just the watching the intricacies of like the thought processes behind like, I'm gonna hide the money, this is how I'm gonna do it, and like he's so detailed, but even though he's so detailed, fucking Sugar is like just right there with him the whole time. Like he's finding him, he's constantly on his fucking heels.
It did give me anxiety, like the chase scenes and whatnot.
When he jumps out the window?
No, like, well, just in general.
Oh.
Like the whole time he's one step behind him.
Yeah.
When he shows up at the hotel and is like, just keep driving, and the guy in the taxi's like, listen, I'll let you off here. He's like, I don't want to get into anything. He's like, you're already fucking in it. I'm trying to get you out of it. Get me over to another hotel room.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's so good. Like, it was like such a good moment. And then like the guy downstairs at the front desk that just, he gets killed because he's there, right? Like, he's just at the front desk. And like, just, I don't know what he did to get himself killed, but he got killed. And then Sugar goes back.
Yeah.
And that's why the cop tells Tommy Lee Jones' character at the end of the movie, he's like, the fucking balls on this guy to go back after he killed, like, and like, I think he said that the Carson's character was like a colonel or something. And
yeah, like a lieutenant colonel in the army.
Yeah, it was like a high ranking officer in the army, and he like got the better of him and fucking killed him instantly. Yeah, and then also, like, yeah, just like, the fact that Carson just didn't go get the money like right then, like he could have gone down, got the money, which didn't make any sense as to why he didn't go pick it up. Like, you know, the money that you're there to find is there. Why not go get it?
Yeah.
But instead, like, and then like he uses that as a bargaining chip, and fucking And Anton's like, no, that's going to get hand-delivered to me. I'm not going to go get that in the fucking weeds. It's going to come to me because that's the way this works. So, honestly, though...
Like, such a badass.
Honestly, though, too, like, if you think about it... I would think, no, the Mexicans wouldn't have gotten the money. I was thinking maybe the Mexicans got the money, but they didn't get the money because he had to go back to the hotel and get the money. Yeah. So that's the way that worked. But, yeah, like honestly, there's so many little things that they did. It was, like, if... never has a movie felt slow and fast at the same time. There was so much, there was a ton of action, ultra violence too. There was so much super violent stuff that happened in this movie, but it was like very well done. And
no nudity. Sorry, Mason.
Yeah.
No, there was.
No.
Anton. Anton was naked on the tub.
There was no titty shot to make this movie a 10.
You got Anton's tits, so I mean that's at least a 5.
Yikes!
You know,
there was no outstanding bods for a dude ranking here on this.
So one of the funniest things I ever got told when I was in the Marine Corps, I got a fucked up haircut one time, right?
Different than this one?
A lot different. Yes.
Sorry, I'm just giving you a hard time.
It's okay. Anyway, so long story short, got a really fucked up haircut. And I went to formation, and I remember we were standing there at morning formation, and my platoon sergeant is just walking or whatever, and he walks all the way up to the front, comes walking back, and he looks at me and goes, "Your haircut's fucked up." And I'm like, "I staff sergeant." He goes, "You know who you look like, right?" I said, "No, staff sergeant." And he goes, "You look like fucking Anton Chigurh with that stupid fucking haircut." He goes, "Matter of fact, you're built like fucking Anton." Get the fuck away from me. So yeah, worst insult I think was I was told I was built and looked like Anton Chigurh.
Oof.
So
Anton Chigurh was the embodiment of evil and a menace. If you told me you look like Anton Chigurh, I would probably be like, you're terrified of me. Like he's like a goddamn Terminator. He doesn't stop the whole movie. He hunts, he kills, and when he gets shot, he just fucking disappears.
It did feel that way, vibe.
And one thing we didn't talk about at all, and this was very fucking cool, I thought, was the explosion. Like, he blows up a car out in front of a pharmacy. Walks in, steals what he needs, and leaves. Yeah. They actually, when they blew the car up, they had to blow up 9 plate glass windows at the same time and they rigged them all up to get it to explode and blow up so that way it would be all contained. Huh. And it was rough to do because they had it was on a street, you know, so they had the cars driving past. So they had to designate the cars that would be going past. And then, there's a lot of like really neat shit that they did with that. Sorry.
No, you're good.
You guys can go into your ratings and all that fun stuff. I'll sit here and I'll fucking stew because I got to deal with two monkeys that don't know how to that don't know how movies work sometimes. They're going to rate this higher than... they're going to say, this was worse than Speed, is what I'm going to get out of this.
They're going to... Are you saying that we weren't smart enough to watch this movie?
You said you were upset by the end of the movie, and then Mason said, I wouldn't have learned anything else about this movie had I not been sitting here talking to you.
Yep.
He would have just went the rest of his life just being like, the dumb movie. Meanwhile, it's like you guys, neither of you knew it was based off of a fucking book, and then you thought were added.
I saw it was based on a book.
I didn't.
By the way, the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
Who? What else are they famous for?
The Big Lebowski.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you need more?
Wasn't there something else?
He needs more.
Didn't they do Stranger Things?
The Coen brothers?
The Coen brothers? The TV series to Stranger Things?
Those are the other brothers. I forget the name.
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Oh Brother Where Art Thou?
Oh Brother Where Art Thou? Fargo. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
I apologize for all the Stranger Things.
Unbroken.
Here's a fun fact too. The briefcase they use in Fargo.
Yeah.
Is actually the same briefcase that they use, that's used in the movie Fargo and the TV series Fargo.
Hmm.
The Coen brothers were producers on Fargo, the movie.
Oh, okay.
And so it's the same style of briefcase, which is kind of cool. again.
Any more fun stuff? Or are we good?
I mean, I could go through. I got more on my list, but there's, I've got like, this is a huge fucking list of tons of stuff. There is another thing when they wrapped up Josh, or when they wrapped up for Javier Bardem's character, they actually brought him a cake that had pictures instead of candles on it. It had pictures of all of the dead bodies of the people he killed in the movie.
What?
Yeah, that's what they brought him. They brought him a cake that looked like that.
What the fuck?
Well, they also, they, when they came to Javier Bardem, he made the cut. They be like, "Wait, we want you to be in the movie," and he's like, "I don't like violence. I don't."
He's probably the nicest guy.
Probably, on the planet. Yeah.
I think he said, "I don't like violence. I don't." He said, "I don't drive. I speak bad English, and I hate violence." That's what he said. And they're like,
"Perfect."
They're like, "Well, that's why we want you." But yeah, and Josh Brolin, actually, this is interesting. Josh Brolin read the book in a day, or maybe like a 2 days, and then wanted to audition for the movie, but was filming Grindhouse at the time. Went to Robert Rodriguez and said, "Hey, I really want to shoot an audition tape for this." Mm-hmm. And Robert Rodriguez says, "Let's use one of the cameras from the film." And then Quentin Tarantino directed his audition tape, and then the Coen brothers saw it and they said, "Who did the lighting on this? This is amazing." They didn't want him right away. He had to go back and talk to them in person, but they kind of caught their attention anyway. But yeah, that was interesting.
Huh. I thought. You know what movie Josh is from?
No,
you don't recognize him from an old good 80s movie. Famous 80s movie with a bunch of children.
It's our time down here. It's our time down here.
He's in the Goonies?
Yeah, yeah. Buddy. He was the brother. Big brother.
The older brother. Brand.
What?
That's Josh, dude.
So, one other fun fact I'll bring up before you guys do your bullshit.
I want to watch the reaction.
He's the older brother?
In Goonies. Yep. Go ahead.
I'm trying to find a picture of the older brother.
Just look up Josh Brolin. And
what? What?
There you go. So the price for fake blood on this, on the set of this movie, do you want to guess how much they paid per gallon of blood?
I'm sorry. Look how mad he is.
What a fucking chin. What a fucking jawline. All right, sorry. Anyway.
All right, anyway. Fake blood, how much?
How much per gallon do you think the fake blood that was used in the movie was?
There was a lot. I want it's 10 gallons.
No, I said how much money per gallon.
Oh.
How much do you think it costs them per gallon?
I don't know.
$15?
$800 a gallon.
Close.
They imported from England. The variant was sugar-free to allow them to film outside without running or without being overrun by bugs while they're during long filming sessions, because most fake blood is corn syrup and sugar based, so this had no sugar in it, so they wouldn't have a ton of flies attacking them during the filming, and they had to import it from England, so a lot of money.
So Tommy Lee Jones and blood is what
They paid for.
The funding went.
But again, I will go back to the awards that this fucking movie won because it was so fucking good.
You're just saying that.
Movie of the goddamn year.
You're just backing up Kara, your fiance.
I'm just backing up the fact, like, honestly, I watched
this movie. He's trying to get brownie points.
I watched this movie. It was a good movie. There was violence. It was, like, interesting. It was spaghetti western style. Like, there were all sorts of elements to this movie. There was a chase. There was good versus evil. There was, you know, just a whole bunch. There was intricate things to think about. There were things that you could find out about the different characters if you looked at. Carson's character talks about the building when he's walking out, right?
Dumb, he goes, fucking missing monkeys? A floor.
Yeah, what's that for, fellas?
9/11?
Anything? It's where they take a floor off the fucking books so that way they can use it to sort out their heroin business, because that's what they're doing with the heroin. They're buying heroin from Mexicans, bringing it into the U.S., so that's what, like, that's the nonchalant way of them talking. Yeah. Over your head. I know. That's why I'm saying.
We're too stupid for this movie.
So I got to take the goddamn ratings up. Anyway, well, sorry. Since you gave... I didn't mean to bore you with the fucking kill every 7 minutes. I'll just step back.
Well, it wasn't your pick.
You're right. It wasn't my pick.
Do you just want to give your rating since you gave...
Why are we going to do this, Chandler?
Because you just gave your...
We start with you every fucking time.
You just gave your spiel.
We start with you every time, Chandler. We're not doing this again. We're not doing it again.
Say it.
Fine.
You want me to go first so you could go farther down the rabbit hole.
No. I'll go. Like I said, the movie was good. Good. At keeping my attention for over 2 hours. Apparently, I'm too stupid to understand everything.
Oh, caveman brain over here.
It's okay. I'm a smooth brain knuckle dragger, too.
The ending pissed me off. But like Riker said, I'm just pissed because the movie didn't spell it out for me for once, like every other movie on the planet. So I'm the one with the problem.
Thank you for admitting that.
You're welcome. So with that, I don't need to watch this movie ever again.
I hope you don't, because I don't want to have to tell you what happened in it again.
I'm not watching it again. I'm not watching it.
Don't do it. Don't ever do it.
I'm not.
A promise?
Yeah. With that, I'm giving this a 4.5.
Okay.
Mason, do you want to go? No, because it's not your fucking turn. It's my turn.
It is your turn.
God damn it, Chandler. God damn it, Chandler.
Are you just going to give your whole spiel again?
No, why would I do that? I've already done that. I've been the one defending this movie since the start of it. Honestly, too, I don't even like this fucking movie, too.
Really?
No, I just wanted to...
Oh, God, yeah! Hell yeah!
I wanted to give you... Wait, you think, for real? No, I'm not putting this fucking movie below fucking Speed and below fucking Roadhouse. Did you watch Roadhouse? That was a goddamn travesty.
It was good.
That's what he likes. What did you... Oh, shit. I need to go back. I need to see what he gave Roadhouse. This is fucking... I got to find this out real quick.
Did I rate this higher than Roadhouse?
If you rated this higher than Roadhouse, you and I are going to have fucking words because...
Oh, please, God.
Roadhouse was so bad. What did you give it? What did you give Roadhouse? You gave Roadhouse a 4.5.
Oh, God.
I stand by what I said. Monkey caveman Chandler over here. I see big muscles and big guys fight, and there's a big boom boom, and I'm super happy. That's what he did.
I gotta change my score.
You can't change your score. Everybody
changes their score. That's right.
I think you can change it. I set precedent that you could change it in episode
4.
Oh, what an asshole.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious? Are you changing it to a 4?
Yes, sir. I already did my math.
Oh, my God. You are so dumb. You're so dumb. It hurts. You think that this movie was worse than Roadhouse?
Yes.
What in the hell is wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
I can't even fathom it.
Because it spelled it out for me. Conor McGregor was the bad guy and Jake Gyllenhaal was the good guy.
That's what you sound like to me. God damn it, dude. That is so fucked. That is so bad.
Let me cook.
Oh, my God. Let me cook. I've watched this movie before. And I think that, you know, given the fact, like, I was able to watch it again, I would even say I would probably watch it again, but I'm not going to watch it over and over again. It's not something that I feel like I need to. It's got deep meanings. It's got a lot of action. It's got some really cool fucking scenes in it. So I think it's worth watching, but it's not something I think I'm going to dive into. But I would say, excuse me.
Are you crying? Are you crying?
Getting choked up. No, I was burping. I will say that I think this was something that I'll come back to later, but it's also something I felt like I needed to learn more about because I don't think I appreciated it. Not to the extent that I was like, I need you to tell me what this ending meant. It was mostly like, what were some of the elements that I missed in this movie? Like, you know, give me some more details. So I'd probably give this a 7.
Hmm. What did I rate?
I'm not telling you. Tell me what your rating is.
I'll tell you.
There's only one person look per episode that's allowed to retract a score. Right.
Well, he hasn't given a score yet, so
you're gonna get revenge on me in the future anyway.
So
I'm not even that invested into this movie. I honestly think that there's a level of appreciation to it. To go at some of these movies with, because
it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah, we know, and I can't wait to see your movie next week, Chandler, because I'm going to
don't you shit on
rip
it. No, you can't.
To pieces.
You can't.
It better Riker. Be a classic, Chandler, because if it's not a fucking classic and it Riker. Doesn't blow my mind, I'm going to tear its ass apart.
Riker, if you shit
on my give movie it next a lower week. Rating than Roadhouse.
No. Riker, if you shit on my movie next week purely based on revenge, that is not fair. You need to base it off the movie.
I will base it off of the movie, but I will tell you, I will be looking at the fucking movie through a microscope.
You want the DVD? I got the...
Yeah, please. I would love to borrow it. Anyway, Mason, sorry.
Okay.
Mason, last week you rated Roadhouse. I believe it was a 2. I'll have to go back and look.
I think it was a 2.
I'm almost positive it was, because it was less than when I gave it.
That was 2 weeks ago.
It was, sorry, Taxi Driver was the week before. Yeah. So
I'm not that stupid.
Sorry, Chandler, I wasn't trying to insult. Yes, I was.
I get called stupid on our own podcast.
You called me a whore on my own podcast?
I've been called a whore. Stupid.
You gave it a 2, by the way.
I gave it a 2. Okay.
And then Taxi Driver. I forget what you gave Taxi Driver.
I think you gave it like a 4.
4. Yeah, yeah. Taxi Driver's a 4.
So.
Chandler gave Taxi Driver a
2. Oh my
God.
He gave it a 2?
Oh my God. He gave it a 2 and he gave Roadhouse a 4.5.
I liked Roadhouse better than Taxi Driver, dude. Taxi Driver was horrible.
What'd you give Goodfellas, you dumb bastard?
You just don't like good movies.
Thank you.
Mason, just say your score so I can do the goddamn math.
So, I have tried watching this movie 3 times. Today's
sorry to hear that.
Today is the first day I have stayed awake the entire time of watching this movie.
Okay, I would like to remind everybody, a kill every 8 minutes.
I need 1 every 2.
And no Conor McGregor butthole. And no titties.
Yeah, come on. No. So. 3.
Thank you.
All right, look.
You guys are so look, fucking all right,
look, 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 look.
He's so mad.
The saving grace was the aesthetic, the kills, and Tommy Lee Jones. That was it. That was it.
You guys are so fucking stupid.
I will never watch this movie again.
Roadhouse was a piece of shit.
It wasn't. Yes, it was good.
Roadhouse is so bad. It was. You couldn't even follow the fucking plot because you didn't know what was happening.
I couldn't follow the plot of this either.
Jake Gyllenhaal shoots a corpse for no fucking reason. A computer did half of the fucking movie in CGI, and
we didn't like it. Just accept it. We didn't like it.
So bad.
I'd watch Roadhouse again right now.
I don't know about that one, but
oh my God.
So with that. This puts us, Riker, are you going to tell us what this falls in between?
I'll tell you in a second, because I got. I actually am on
4.6.
Ah, shit, hold on. What did he? Sorry, hold on. I'm going back.
Spaceballs scored higher.
What did you give this?
A 3.
You gave this a 3. That's right. Okay, sorry. I was adjusting. So 3. Boop, boop, boop. What did you give Taxi Driver again? Why the hell?
A 4.
Okay, I was on the wrong page because I was going back to give you your score from that one, and I typed in 3 there. That's what we're doing. Here we go.
4.6. I think that's more than enough for this movie.
This movie was rated like 93% by critics on Rotten Tomatoes and an 8.2 on IMDb. And
they're all from Texas.
Well, we are the Couch Critiques.
They're all from Texas.
Yeah.
They don't have our credentials.
All right.
Yeah, I think I don't like our credentials, to be honest with you, the way you're rating things.
You came up with the rating system.
Listen, not to be used against me in a court of law. So this was a 4.7. Is that what you said it was?
4.6.
This is the second lowest rated movie.
As it should be.
Oh, guess what? It's above, though, motherfucker. Roadhouse. 3.2 for Roadhouse. 4.6 for this. 4.7 for Spaceballs.
All right.
Oh my God, Speed's better than this movie.
Yeah, I said that at the beginning.
No, it's not.
RoboCop's better than this movie.
Yes, it is.
And you can tell Kara I said that since she
won't. Why don't you tell her?
She won't come down and defend it.
I'm going to tell her when we go upstairs and you have however long it takes her to get to the knife drawer to get out of the house.
We won't be allowed back over here ever again.
Yeah, I know.
Ridiculous.
All right.
Well, I love how he dropped his score from 4.5 because he knew it matched Roadhouse.
I liked Roadhouse better than this. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Did you like this better than Goodfellas or less than Goodfellas?
I like this more than Goodfellas.
What? You would watch that over Goodfellas?
Yeah.
I'm happy that I've made him outraged. Because now I'm not the only one outraged.
Over Goodfellas.
Listen, when we did Goodfellas, I still didn't have a knowledge of how I was going to rate everything, and I felt pure. I rated Goodfellas way too high. I was peer pressured. So, with that, since I'm done getting yelled at tonight, so.
Goodfellas.
I'm sorry. Listen, with that being said, I'm
too old for this shit.
Right. I totally get where Tommy Lee Jones was coming from. One, we have an announcement, and then it is my turn to pick a movie.
I have an announcement. What's the announcement?
There's an announcement.
Well, we'll have a
fired.
Another.
Huh?
Am I fired?
You're not fired.
We wouldn't do that.
You're the original. Here. You're one of the original founders.
Yeah. See, here we go.
OG. No, we're actually going to have someone come back.
We're adding to the crew.
Yeah. Next week, they'll be joining us for whatever Chandler's movie is. Hopefully, they shit on it harder than they shit on this movie. Brendan will be coming to join us
to
actually weigh in. Yeah, he'll be joining us on a regular basis, hopefully, and we'll have some fill in. Maybe we'll, because scheduling with the three of us is kind of a pain in the ass sometimes. So maybe we'll just
and if something
we'll always have a quorum of three at that point.
And if something comes up, one of us can't make it.
You know what sucks?
We're good.
Too bad he wasn't here today. Maybe this movie would have scored higher.
It would have. And that's actually why I was really upset he couldn't make it today, because he's like, oh, I like this. I was like, great.
Already hired and he didn't even fucking help.
I hired before that. I didn't have that knowledge going into that happening.
Can I change my Goodfellas score?
No, you can't change shit. In fact, I want the picture that you have of the rating system, I want that, so that way you can just be all over the fucking place again.
Okay.
Because I want to see you like give Predator a 2 and then whatever gets higher than that. Right. I think I'd watch Roadhouse again right now. Predator, fuck that movie.
I like Predator. I'd watch Predator right now too.
Simultaneously. But yeah, Brendan will be joining us next week.
Absolutely.
He unfortunately couldn't make it this week. So
he will be here.
He'll be back.
All right, I can't think of a better. I've been putting this off. This should have been week one, episode one for me, but I held off. Can't think of a better time to pick my all-time favorite movie of all time. I've watched this 1,000 times. I could go home and watch it right now. I have a case full of memorabilia, autograph signed items. I have
one.
Huh?
Oh, we're not rating it?
No, you can't base it. You actually have to watch it, critique it. Don't try to shit on me just to get revenge, all right? You actually have to be honest with it. But
Whiplash?
No, we're not.
What? Sorry, I was just bringing other things up.
I didn't know you guys hated me so much.
I'm going to fine-tooth comb this motherfucker. That's all I'm going to do.
No, do it. Do it.
I've got first edition copies of the book, and we are doing 1983's John Carpenter's Christine.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Coraline.
No.
Oh.
Christine is next week.
All-time
favorite.
I just hate that movie.
I love Christie's.
I just hate it. I hate it whenever they pour all that pig's blood on top of her head.
It's the wrong movie.
Never seen it.
It's Carrie.
It's the wrong movie.
I thought we were talking about Christie's, the strip club.
I already know how next week's going to go.
Not well. Not well at all.
I will tell you this. It was on Netflix. It was on a couple apps. I don't think it's on anything.
No. I looked. It said Sling was free, and I don't know what the fuck Sling is.
Sling, you have to pay. You have to pay for it.
So So I'm probably going to have to come borrow this movie for me, because I was going to grab it earlier today.
How much money
did you say you have to find it?
I don't know where the DVD's at.
How much money have you spent on... What's it called again?
Christine.
How much money have you spent on Christine memorabilia?
A lot.
Like, how much is a lot?
A lot.
Like, if you had to gauge.
No. Let's get a picture. Let's get a picture of, like, whatever your display case is,
I'll post it on the page later.
Yeah.
I will.
Do it. Well, it doesn't have to be later. It could be when we're, like, you know.
Yeah.
No. Whenever, like, after the episode comes up or whatever. I just want to see. Bring it for us to see, because I want to see this fucking thing.
But, yeah. So, that was my pick. Please go off of purely what you think of it, not trying to get back at me.
Listen, I'm a professional.
That's not how this show works.
I am a professional.
Okay.
I will not be swayed by bullshit.
I'm a smooth brain. I will be swayed by bullshit.
That's true.
Well, boys.
Are there titties in this movie?
Are there CGI in this movie?
No.
Wait. Which one? Yes. Which one's a no?
There is a little bit of CGI.
Oh.
What about titties? Side
tune in next week.
I can't tell you.
Oh, it's a dead.
It's rated R.
That doesn't say a lot for a movie. When did you say 80s. It was from? 83.
Back their side boob.
Back then. Back then, it could have been rated PG and still had like full frontal nudity in it. Like, that's the way that worked.
We need that old rating system back.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. Go like the podcast where we scream at each other about our bad opinions and and our thoughts and feelings. And go rate it, share it, tell a friend, tell an enemy.
Anton.
Tell them they're next.
If this movie would have been about three ranchers that lost the farm and tried to get and had to sell to get it back or fight to get it back, I would have rated it higher.
Hey, call it, friendo. What the... pop your head open like with my air suppressor here. All right, guys. In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.